for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
Good evening, and this is not Jack Stogler. Jack is on vacation again, and we are here with our county engineer, Jim Wiekert. Jim, welcome.
Well, thank you so much, Neil. It's really great to be here. Thanks for the opportunity.
Well, we appreciate you coming on, and I think most of the people around here know that the engineer's job is important, but has no idea what you do. So let's start off with kind of getting to know you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and so forth.
Yeah, so I think it's a real good opportunity to clarify what this office does and doesn't do, not only in Mercer County, but in across the state in each county. So a little bit about my background. I was born in the Allen County area between Spencerville and Delphus. My parents had seven children. I was the last of the seven. And so I graduated from Spencerville High School in 1989 and went to the University of Toledo for my Bachelor's of Science in Civil Engineering degree, which I received in 1993. Shortly after that, I found out about a great opportunity up north in Paulding County. They were looking for a bridge engineer up there with the county engineer up there. And so I think it was the Monday after graduation, I was able to start there. I believe June 13th of 1993. Why I can remember that date when there's so many other dates, I don't know. But I started and had a real good work experience there in Paulding County for 6 years. I learned a lot from a really good county engineer up there, a county engineer that knew a lot about different types of funding, especially federal and state funding programs. And so I started out as bridge engineer there, and once I got my surveyor's license, I was promoted to assistant county engineer. And then I found out about this great opportunity in Mercer County, where their assistant county engineer had left, and they were looking to fill that position. At that time, I didn't necessarily have an interest in becoming the county engineer. I wanted to keep doing bridge work like I had been in Paulding County, and sort of a lateral move. I had spoken to my boss that had hired me out of college. He was really good about me approaching him and looking at this other opportunity. And long story short, I interviewed for the position here, and I got it. And that was in 1999. So I was hired then as assistant county engineer. And then, surprisingly enough, within 3 or 4 months, he had an opportunity to go up to Lucas County, much bigger urbanized county, to become county engineer up there. At that time, I didn't have all the credentials I needed for the office. Roy Thompson took the office for about 2.5-3 years, and Roy had worked for ODOT for quite a few years before that, and was a wonderful mentor as well. And in 2002, I was appointed county engineer, and I've since that time, I've been the Mercer County engineer. So I guess that's 22 years. So time flies when you're having fun, right?
Yeah.
And so
no, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and so the wonderful part about that is over this period of time, Mercer County has been a wonderful home. I moved here in 1995, and I live in Northeast Mercer County in Union Township, and probably one of the more sparsely populated parts of our county, way up in the northeast corner of the county. So the office of county engineer, you have to be, number one, a resident of the county. Number two, you have to be a dual licensed individual. You have to be a professional engineer and a professional surveyor to hold the office. That's a very important, both those qualifications stay intact and in place, because there's a lot of sections of the ORC, the code, a lot of sections. Every day I'm using those licenses for the job that we do through our office. So that's just it in a nutshell, I guess, as far as my background. background.
Okay. So we appreciate you telling us about that, and we're going to get into a little bit more about what the actual job entails. We'll take a little break, and we'll be back in just a minute or two.
This is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials at a great price Monday through Friday. And now we also offer a second cook's choice lunch special every day. We still offer our regular lunch favorites. We start off each week with Mystery Monday, and our special will be something different each week. On Tuesday, it's our meatloaf dinner. Wednesday, it will be our famous three-piece chicken dinner. Thursday, you can get a tenderloin with fries and applesauce. And on Friday, we have our big half-pound cheeseburger with fries and slaw. And now we also offer a second lunch special every day. Check our Facebook page daily to see what our two lunch specials will be. Fast, delicious, home-cooked meals. Lunchtime Monday through Friday here at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery.
At Cooper Farms, family first isn't just a saying. It's our culture.
I like that the company has a value system that I can subscribe to. Things that are important to the organization are also things that are important to me. We have very caring and competent leaders that value family.
Join the family. Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canute from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. If you're serious about your lawn, you should get a lawn or garden tractor sold by someone who's dedicated to knowing their products. That's why more and more people are realizing the value in purchasing lawn and garden tractors from a local independent Simplicity dealer like K&L Tractor. We offer test drives, financing plans, service technicians, setup and delivery, and of course, the best tractors and zero-turn mowers made. Simplicity, the way to a beautiful lawn.
The Fort Recovery High School baseball team is having a barbecue chicken dinner on Saturday, April 20th, and you can pick up the dinners from 11 to 1 at the new baseball facility. There will also be a baseball game with the Lincoln View Lancers that day, starting at 11 a.m. So bring the family out to the game that day and enjoy the barbecue chicken and the baseball game. The tickets for the chicken dinners are just $10 each, and you get a half a chicken from Wendell's Barbecue, plus applesauce, chips, and a roll. If you're not going to the game, you can just drive through and pick them up. You can contact any of the high school baseball players for tickets, and you can also get them by contacting Wendell's Barbecue at 375-4074. Don't miss out on the baseball team's barbecue chicken dinners this year, available on Saturday, April 20th from 11 to 1 during our home baseball game with Lincoln View. The Fort Recovery Firefighters Association will be serving their annual barbecue chicken dinners on Sunday, April 7th at the Fire Hall. That's right. They'll be serving those great barbecue chicken dinners that we all love. The tickets are only $10 each and are pre-sale only and available from any of the firefighters. And be sure to grab a couple of extra dinners for a quick meal during the week. Get your tickets now, then stop down on Sunday afternoon, April 7th from 4 to 6 p.m. and pick up your chicken dinners. Get your tickets now from any of our firefighters for the Fort Recovery Firefighters Chicken Dinners Sunday, April 7th from 4 to 6 p.m. Welcome back. We're back with our county engineer, Jim Wiekert. And so you talked about some credentialing and that type of thing. What are the responsibilities of the county engineer's office? I think you mentioned bridges and things like that, but what else is involved in all of your job?
Good question, Neil. It's pretty broad. Let me explain. The biggest share of the responsibility relates to roads and bridges. So in Mercer County, we have four different road systems. We have state and U.S. highways. ODOT has a responsibility on those roads. There's roughly 210 miles of state and U.S. system roads in our county. That's all ODOT. That's not our office, not the county engineer. Mm-hmm. The county engineer has responsibility on 386 miles of county road in our county. There are also 444 miles of township road in Mercer County. Now, there's 14 boards of township trustees that oversee the maintenance of those roads. But the county engineer acts as the engineer for the trustees, and we do a lot of work in conjunction with the trustees, a lot of work for the trustees that we bill them for. A lot of people don't realize that. We do a lot of joint bidding with contractors. So the township trustees do have the responsibility on the township roads, but we do assist them a lot.
For the most part, I would say none or very few of them have an engineering background or degree. So they need somebody with that degree to...
Correct. And the other part is, quite honestly, our labor and our equipment, we do a lot more work in our county for our trustees than probably some other counties across the state. And actually, when you look at our budget, it's pretty substantial in dollars, the amount of work, especially chip seal and fog seal type activities. We also do all the signage on township and county roads. So not just for our county roads, but also township roads.
So is that because you can get it in bulk, or so it'll all be consistent, or all of that?
Good question. Essentially, yes. Economy of scale is one part of that, an important part. The other part of it is we have one sign person that knows the sign manual really well and knows what a conforming sign is not. And no offense to any township trustees, but those are kind of part-time positions, and it's hard enough for our sign man to keep up with all the necessary codes and the
right. You elements. Don't expect, well, in this case, 14 different townships to keep
right.
to have to require somebody that knows all of
right.
that. That just
yeah, and there's
not logical.
And there's some other counties actually where the townships do try to maintain their own signs, and I'm not saying that's bad or a terrible system, but we inherited this system here, and it's a good system.
Yeah, that to me it sounds extremely logical that everything would be kind of run through the same system so that it's consistent from one township to another. So the
other thing I'd mention too, yep. bridges. So bridges on county roads are all our office's responsibility. There's 370 bridges.
370 bridges.
Yeah, and a bridge in Ohio by definition is 10-foot clear span or larger.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of those 370 bridges are on township roads, but some of them are on county roads. So all of those bridges, whether it's township road or county road, are our responsibility for replacement and our maintenance. Mm-hmm. And there's some situations where you drive over a structure, you may not even know that you're driving over a bridge by state definition. So there are some really large ones we have over the St. Mary's River, over the Wabash River, but then there's some really small ones we have as well.
Yeah. So as far as like the bridges, you said bridges are 10-foot span or more. Culverts, is that the same kind of rule? Do you take care of the culverts too?
So an excellent question. So on county roads, we take care of all of our culverts, mm-hmm. both maintenance and replacement. On township roads, principally, all the maintenance is done by the township trustees. So in other words, anything less than a 10-foot clear span mm-hmm. is that township board's responsibility. Occasionally, we've helped them with some maintenance. And then currently, we kind of have a policy where there's a bit of a shared responsibility on funding when there has to be a replacement of a culvert when it's larger on a township road. But most of the smaller culverts on township road is solely that responsibility of the trustees.
Okay. And from your experience, are all the townships all kind of on the same page that they keep routine maintenance up pretty well? Or
they do, and I really think our county, I've seen a lot of changing faces over the years with our boards of trustees, and I think the public can be really proud as a whole what a great group of dedicated people there are here that are looking out for the interest of their township roads and their township, and then, you know, obviously trying to vie for the best they can for their area. So I'm really impressed with that. I'm really, you know, I hear from other areas across the state where there's maybe not as much of that emphasis, and so it's just good here.
Yeah, and that's how it should be, and that's how you hope it is. And like you were mentioning, the township trustees that I know in our area are really good, conscientious people, and I know a few, vaguely know a few of the other ones in other townships, and they all seem like high quality people too. So I think we're in one of those bubbles in the world where our elected officials actually care instead of trying to be social elites and stuff.
Right?
Like that.
Yeah,
I think we just are blessed with having some outstanding people that are taking taking care of our businesses.
I agree.
And schools and all of that. But so with all of those miles and everything, besides roads, bridges, are there other things?
Sure.
I can't think of anything else that would be involved.
Yeah,
but
There are. There are some other responsibilities of the county engineer. One of them we touched upon is the engineer for the trustees. So when the trustees do have engineering issues that may not even relate to a road, may relate to other issues, there's a responsibility in the code that I assist them if I can. There's two other main responsibilities. One is county ditch maintenance. And a lot of people don't realize what is county ditch maintenance. County ditch maintenance, there's only a select amount of open ditches and tile that are on our county ditch maintenance system. And those are predicated upon going through a public process through either soil and water or 6137 or 6131 in the code. And so when you go through that process, at the end of it, it's a public process with the Board of County Commissioners. That open ditch or that tile is put on maintenance. And what that means is all the benefiting property owners that drain into that have an assessment in a maintenance fund that the county engineer's responsibility to maintain. The vast majority of our maintenance ditches and tile are in the northern part of the county. Well, you're saying, well, why is that? Because it's flatter up there, and there's more of a need because of flatter grades of ditches to dip those out on a more routine basis.
Oh, yeah. And so if it's flatter, there isn't the natural flow, I guess.
Right. And if there isn't the natural flow, people have to go through the petition process in the law to be able to maintain those properly. So in other words, like down in Fort Recovery areas, about the most hilly part of our county, and there's not as much need because there's enough grade in a lot of these open ditches that they've never been petitioned through that public process in the law. So there's over 100 miles of open ditch and tile that are on county ditch maintenance. The other responsibility of the county engineer is a couple other items. One is the engineer serves on the Regional Planning Commission as one member on that board. Under the code, there's a Regional Planning Commission that's set up for every county. It relates to subdivision of land and the regulation of that. So that's one element of the county engineer's involvement. And the second element is FEMA local floodplain administrator. So every county that adopts a FEMA local floodplain administration, the county engineer handles that responsibility where you have a FEMA regulated zone.
Okay. So it sounds like something that you wouldn't want so like your job is something that you wouldn't want to have somebody that isn't familiar with stuff.
Right. Right.
Oh, man.
And so the other thing is I can't just point out how important it is to have good employees and staff in anything you do. And I've just been really fortunate and blessed to have a lot of good people to work with through the years. We have another engineer on staff, our assistant county engineer, and then a lot of really good technical people in our front office. It's not just one person. It's obviously all that crew to help make it all, put it all together.
Yep. So that sounds like a lot of work. And I know you just came back from Columbus. I'm guessing there is some sort of big time meeting down there that you had to go there for.
Yep.
I didn't mention it, but we do appreciate you taking time out of your extremely busy day. You had to drive to Columbus, sit through a meeting or several or whatever it is, and then drive 2 hours back. We're recording this on Wednesday afternoon so that you can get back home and take care of another commitment.
Right.
So,
no problem.
So that's only 15 hours. So, just the regular day in the engineer's office. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, it sounds like a lot of things going on. And so I guess maybe, and I'm sure this is a moving target, but what is the approximate cost to pave a mile of road?
It's a moving up target, unfortunately, in the reality of a lot of areas that we have around here, inflation-wise. But It varies on what you're doing, but in general terms, you're talking close to $100,000 to pave a mile of road.
Wow.
Now, that's when I say pave, and kind of your question's a loaded question.
Right. Yeah.
We're talking asphalt, concrete, hot mix, resurfacing. We do chip and seal and fog seal activities, which is a little more rudimentary than asphalt, concrete, resurfacing. It is a lot of times when we'll chip and seal and fog seal a road. People, after it's fog sealed, they may not even recognize the difference, but there is obviously a difference. The cost of that activity is around roughly $20,000 or so per mile of road.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has gotten very difficult to pave with asphalt concrete a lot of miles of road like used to be done years ago, just because the inflation factor, I don't have the numbers right here with me, but have, not just in recent times, but over the last 20 to 25 years, have dramatically outpaced the ability to, sustainable ability to do a lot of that. So
yeah. Now, are there times, does it happen very often where you have to, where the road is in such bad shape, you just have to take all the pavement off, put in a whole new base? I know we have that problem here at our stoplight here in town, where we've gone all the way, you know, not just pave over it, but go all the way down to, there's a concrete something underneath, are there things like that? Are there places in the county where that has to happen, and what does that cost a mile, or do you do miles of that, or do you do feet or yards of that?
Well, good question, and we're very fortunate here, because since I've been here, we have not had to do a full depth, that would be called okay, a full depth replacement type project on a mile of road. We occasionally have some spot areas that we have to dig out and put a new base in. We've probably seen a little more of that on township roads, but again, the cost to rebuild a base and to repave, you're probably talking $300,000 to $400,000. Now, I will say here, there's been so much work put into the roads, not just since I've been here, but predecessors have done a great job, that a lot of our bases, road bases, have a decent amount of buildup, but not unlimited. And you look at our county, we do get a pretty hefty hammering of the ag equipment on these roads.
Yes.
So,
yep, tractors,
yes,
and semis.
Yeah.
And semis full of soybeans and corn.
Yeah, and so the challenge is keeping up with that and being able to maintain those surfaces so they don't get to the point where we have to rebuild that base, because that's where it gets so expensive.
Yeah, and I just was hoping that was the answer, that we don't have to. Because it's always seemed like, I've been driving for 50, 60 years, it seems like our roads have always been in very good shape. Let's see, let's take a break. I'll come back. We'll come back and I'll ask you a little bit about how you figure out what priority, you know, how you rate the priorities of which one has to get done, and if there's any surprises after you get that, that done. So we'll take a quick break and we'll come back in just a minute or two.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Since 1989, Case IH Maxim Series tractors have earned a reputation for longevity, reliability, and productivity. Find out how the latest generation of Maxim can raise your productivity at Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery. Start with the Active Drive 8 dual clutch transmission, delivering a wider range of working speeds without torque interruptions or manual gear changes. And with models ranging from 116 to 145 horsepower plus a two-wheel drive option, there's a Case IH Maxim Series tractor to meet your needs. To learn more, visit Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery today.
If you're looking for great food at great prices, just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274. They have sandwiches, fried goodies, subs, salads, wraps, and of course their famous pizza and wings. Everybody can get what they want. Just call them and drive through and pick it up. And be sure to stop in on Fridays at lunch for their famous pizza and wing buffet. Make Miracle Lane's your number one spot for great food. Be sure to put their number in your phone and just call them whenever you're hungry. 419-375-4274. The Fort Recovery Elementary and Middle School Drama Club will present Dorothy in Wonderland on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, April 12th through 14th at the Auditoria at the Middle School. The show features your favorite Wizard of Oz and Alice in Wonderland characters rolled into one show. Tickets will be available at the door and are $8 for adults, $6 for students, and children under 5 get in free. The shows will be presented at 7 p.m. on Friday, April 12th, and 2 p.m. matinees on Saturday and Sunday afternoons. The show is under the direction of Tracy Evers West Curtis and Karen Myring, and the talented students will put on a great show. Make plans now to get to this presentation of Dorothy in Wonderland at the Middle School Auditoria on Friday evening, April 12th at 7 p.m., and Saturday, April 13th at 2 p.m., and Sunday, April 14th at 2 p.m. Tickets will be available at the door. Don't miss it. Welcome back to Insight. We're here with County Engineer Jim Wiekert. And as I mentioned before the break, let's talk a little bit about how do you decide the priority? What comes first? And is that something you can do like a five-year projection that kind of sticks pretty good? Or do you have to make a projection and know that it's just going to change? And how do you determine what is most important?
Yes and yes. Let me explain a little bit. So for bridges, it's pretty simple. We keep a five-year plan. We, for replacements, significant rehabs, we work off that pretty much, that sheet of music, I would say, as best we can. Some of that is subject to change, mostly because of funding, especially the larger bridges. There's certain programs we can try to leverage and use to our benefit. We've been really fortunate through the years to use a lot of those programs. Sometimes there's quite a bit of bureaucracy involved in those, but still the benefit of them outweighs the paperwork challenges, I guess you'd say. So bridges are fairly easy. We keep a five-year plan, and it may shift a little bit, but for the most part, it's pretty established. We've come a real long way in our bridge conditions over the last 40 years here. Even when I came in into our office in 99, we had about 60 bridges with load restrictions and a lot of one-lane narrow bridges. A lot of that has been taken care of, but we just want to keep maintaining that part of our world. The other thing, maintenance-wise, to your question on maintenance schedule, as it relates to pavement surfaces on county roads, my staff, a couple of folks manage that. They inspect those roads. They look at them every year. They do what they call road inspection or road run, and they make those decisions. Those decisions for either chip seal, fog seal, or paving are, of course, governed by what we can allocate dollars-wise in those areas. And some of the, I guess the other thing, the other big thing that we're doing here in the last 5-10 years, we're really trying to do a lot more road widening. And so what is road widening? Road widening is either widening the right-of-way and or widening the shoulders and widening the pavement. The challenge with all that, the biggest challenge is funding to do all those things. And there's still so many local roads out there, so many county roads, so many township roads, that there's virtually no shoulder, that there's steep drop-offs. The pavements are narrow for the traffic they're getting now. And so if we were in a situation where we were just trying to maintain what we had, that would be relatively easy for our office, for me. But our challenge and our mission is not to just stay at status quo. There's a lot of work that needs done across our system roads, especially related to width of right-of-way, width of shoulders, with the pavements.
Mm-hmm. Does that also, just not to interrupt, but sure. The ditches have gone from near and deep to wide and shallower. probably carrying basically the same amount of water, but it's wider, and usually that comes along with making the road a little wider. The actual driving on part and not just the shoulder. Is that a big deal to get the base put under that that extra foot that you're putting on the side or whatever it might be? Is there a lot of base work that has to get done?
There is. If you widen a pavement, and a lot of our pavement widenings are roughly, a lot of the existing pavements that we widened are roughly 18 feet. Our goal's 23 to 24 to get them out that far. So you're talking 2 to 3 foot of widening on each side. Well, you got to have the room, a flat area, a flat shoulder to be able to widen that. So some of the, as an example, nearby Wabash Road, we widen a lot of shoulders out, and we're in the process of doing some work on St. Peter Road that's kind of down in this area too, where again, we're widening shoulders. We're trying to set ourselves up in a position where we can widen that pavement in the future. And to do that, we have to put a base in, an adequate base under there. And so it takes a lot of funds to do that, to number one, to get the right of way, to have the landowners be supportive of that, and then secondarily to widen the shoulders with what we would call a big earthwork or dirt widening to get a good 6-8 foot of shoulder, set the ditches back. And then lastly, the biggest cost is the actual pavement widening cost. So some of these things are, they take time over a series of years. We wish we could do them all at once, but the revenue can't sustain that. So we got to try to find a way to cobble together enough revenue to do this on some of these roads. That's why it takes a little longer.
Yeah, and I'm assuming most of that is because of number one, bigger farm equipment, but also more semis. A lot of the farmers now own a semi or two or three, where 20 years ago virtually nobody had a semi. The semis that came and went were from a distance, and now they're sometimes they're still loading into the J&M hopper wagons, but a lot of times they are loading directly into the semis, and the semis go either to the feed mills or back, and they, if your farm is on a township road, you're going to be driving on a township road or a right. county road. Everybody doesn't live on right. a highway.
So. Yeah, and virtually every rural local road in this county, even up in this more sparsely populated areas where I live, or up in Black Creek Township, northwest part of the county, they're all seeing semi-traffic where they didn't see that 30 years ago.
Yeah, so. And so let's just take St. Henry Burkittsville Road, for example. That's basically 118 extended, but you get to pay for it.
Right.
Or we get to pay for it. Has that always been kind of okay for semi-traffic up and down there over the last 30 or 40 years, or is that a fairly new thing? I know there's a lot more going up and down there.
So that road has gone through two iterations of widening since I've been here. So mm-hmm. just in the last 23 years, there's been two different processes of widening, and definitely that road is very much needed, what's been done out
yeah.
there.
Yeah. So was the basic road that was already there, was it strong enough to hold those semis, and all you had to do was widen it, or did you have to do anything underneath the entire width of the road, the 23 feet or whatever you're trying to go to?
So good question. We really didn't have to do anything under the existing pavement. It was more widening the pavement and putting it to strengthen the whole road, putting mm-hmm. a bit of a top on it. So that's, if we would have had to do like a full base replacement on that, we would have, there'd been a huge amount of cost compared to what we yeah. had to expend to do out
yeah.
there.
And you know, I've seen a bunch of the semis going up and down there, and I've had people tell me that they're ruining the road, but I never saw it being ruined. When you don't have to go very far west from of here to see their county roads. If they get semis, the sides of the roads are crumbling off after 3 or 4 or 5 years. Then they go back and do it, looks great for another 2 or 3 years, and then it starts fading away. I can't imagine what it would take money wise for Jay County and some of the other counties, Adams County, that don't have that to start with, to just go and do 400 miles of
right, yeah,
of roads.
A huge investment.
It'd be enormous. But so it sounds like over the decades that somebody had the foresight to not do it halfway, to do it right the first time, and then all you have to do is maintain instead of build on a lot of that. Now again, with more semis, you do have to, I guess you wouldn't have to, but it definitely helps to widen the roads, and that is some cost. So the full depth, I believe, is what you called it. Those are extremely expensive, but there's not a lot of places, unless you're widening it, where you have to do the full depth. Is that
That's correct.
Good. While we're talking about some of that, where does your money come from?
So, good question. Contrary to popular belief, it doesn't come from real estate taxes. Real estate taxes fund a lot of other county activities, county functions, important functions, sheriff's office, other things like that. Two main sources our revenue comes from, but then there's a lot of ways we try to supplement. The two main base sources that if we aren't proactive, don't do anything else. One is we get a smaller portion of gas tax. So every time you go to the pump, we get a part of that. ODOT gets the majority of that for state and U.S. highway systems. Mm-hmm. And then also license fee revenue. When you renew your tags, there's a portion of that revenue that comes to the county engineer's office. And then township trustees also receive portions of those. Municipalities also receive portions of that. So the road maintaining entities get different proportions of those funds. Those are the two main, what I would call, base revenue sources for a county engineer's office. And so what do we do? I kind of refer to it as trying to find money under a rock. And that's I spent my career kind of doing that, not only here, but previously, and then learning that from my predecessors.
Or digging it out of the sofa cushions.
Right. Whatever you can find. Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of federal programs that are available. Some are not applicable that we can utilize, but some are. Some have a lot of strings attached, but we've been really fortunate. There's a simple example in this area, that Park Road Bridge that just got replaced here a year or two ago. That was all federal money that we applied for that we were lucky to get.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Burkittsville St. Henry Road, the southern part of that was widened and resurfaced, I'm guessing 4 or 5 years. It might have been longer than that, maybe 6 or 7 years ago. That was all federal money we were able to get. There are programs that we try to utilize, and I would say that probably I'm only successful 20 to 30% of the time. So it may seem like to some people that, gosh, we get everything. No, it takes a lot of work and effort to go after those. There's also some assistance.
Is that like grants?
Correct, principally.
So do you write those? Do you have somebody in the...
A combination of the office. Mm-hmm. I'm involved, and also staff's involved. The other thing is our county commissioners have been very supportive of some local ways to help with road improvements like TIFs and other things like that. And so a TIF gets very complicated to describe, but basically it's a way, if there's a development, to, if you have a deficient road or sanitary line or water line, it's a way to earmark some of the increased tax revenue into the infrastructure. So just a whole host of OPWC funds. We've been able to utilize OPWC 0% interest loan for 30-year type funds. Years ago, I was able to get a USDA grant for some bridges that was federal money. That only happened one time, but we got like 6 bridges replaced out of it. So we're always looking for those opportunities.
So let's say those 6 bridges. Whatever an average size bridge for Mercer County is, what does that cost to replace a bridge? And why does it take so long? It seems like you tear it out in one day, put another one in, pave over it. 3 days later, you got traffic going.
So,
and I know it isn't that.
Well, it's interesting because my sister once said to me, aren't all bridges the same? I said, no, they're completely different from what I was mentioning on like St. Mary's River to the smaller spans. I would say an average cost for a bridge in this county, you're probably talking $150,000 to $200,000. Kind of the smaller type span bridges. If you're talking something over the St. Mary's River or the Wabash River, you're talking $1 to $2 million or so in that range on that cost.
Yeah.
Each is different on their complexity, but I will say, obviously, the smaller ones, if they're precast concrete, those go in pretty quick. If the weather works out, you're talking maybe a couple weeks, a week or two even on those. But then once they start to get larger, then they get more complex and a little more time building.
Yep. So, and about how many... I believe you might have mentioned it earlier, but about how many bridges do we try to replace or upgrade every year? Does it just kind of depend?
So, good question. When I first came here, we had a fair amount of resources in that area. We had 1 year we replaced 31 bridges, which I'll never see that again, and I don't know that I've ever seen a county do that. The last several years we're in roughly the 5 to 8 mode, 5 to 8 projects, bridge projects. Well, why is that? Well, if you do the math, we got about 370 bridges. If you figure on it about an 80-year lifespan of those bridges to maintain, you're going to have to be doing about that 5 to 8 bridges mm-hmm. range. So our bridge condition levels are a lot better than they were when I first came here. They're not perfect. You're always going to have issues when you have that large of an inventory of structures, but we want to keep up with them. And so to answer long answer to the short question, we're talking about 5 to 8 per year.
Mm-hmm. Do we have any bridges in the county that are in bad shape? That aren't planned to get done this summer, I should say. That aren't.
I would say no, not in bad shape, but there's some bridges that are definitely heading towards the end of their lifespan that are on our schedule that we have planned to take care of mm-hmm. in the next 5 years. So
now, does that mean that you're going to restrict weight on them, or is that already done, or are they narrow enough that there wouldn't be that much weight on them anyway? Or
good questions again. Most of them that have been replaced are more predicated upon width issues than they are load restrictions. We have recently done some load restrictions, which you have to do that through your Board of County Commissioners, but they were issues where the overall load laws changed that they just barely had to be load limited. Mm-hmm. So by law, we had to load limit some, but their condition is very good. Mm-hmm. And so what we built maybe in 1990, now with some fairly recent law changes, are still some good bridges, but they just barely drop below the threshold that they have to have a very minor posting on them. So we've had a few of those we've had to deal with.
And probably ones you might not be terribly concerned with because there's not a lot of traffic.
Correct.
Good. So that you can, if you would have to, you could move them by a year or so if you needed to. That's the high traffic ones, I'm sure, that are the ones that you have to really.
Yeah, we just sure. recently through the board had to reduce 2 or 3, but they are not conditional issues, so they're not even on our 5-year plan. So
okay, good. Good. It's always good to have things like that going on that we know we're in pretty good shape. Let's take another break here. We'll come back and we'll talk a little bit about some other things that are on my list of things. We'll just take a little break and be back in just a minute or two.
There's one guarantee in business, and that is that you can never predict the future. Hi, I'm Amanda Segrist with Fort Recovery Insurance. Lots of unpredictable things happen in business. The economy might take a U-turn, or that guy from down the road might take a U-turn into your front door. From a commercial insurance package to a commercial umbrella policy, we can make sure you are covered for the unpredictable. We are your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group. Visit us at www.fortrecoveryinsurance.com.
You can't predict the future. Well, except that Ohio weather is unpredictable, and sometime in the future, you will lose power. Of course, with the Generac Automatic Standby Generator from Reasoner Energy, you're covered. And for added predictability, now through October 8th, get a free 10-year warranty with your purchase of a Generac Automatic Standby Generator. That's a $1,035 value. Terms and conditions apply. A predictable future is in your hands. Call for details, Reasoner Energy, 419-678-4858.
Be sure to stop into Wayne IGA and check out their new items in their grab-and-go cooler.
They have a nice variety of fresh store-made salads and desserts, and now they also have some great ready-to-heat-and-eat meals like ravioli, meatloaf, chicken alfredo, beef brisket, and lots more. They also have containers of their store-made cooked beef, pork, and cream chicken. Check it out the next time you're up there and stock up on your favorites. There's a different variety of grab-and-go meals every day. Grab-and-go at Wayne IGA, your best friend on a busy night. Here are the baseball broadcasts coming up the rest of this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow's MAC baseball game hosting Parkway has now been rescheduled for Friday evening at 5. We'll bring you that game live, and our pregame show will start around 4:50. On Saturday morning, the boys will travel down to Ansonia. Game time is 11, and our pregame show will start around 10:50. And a reminder, this past Monday's baseball softball food drive that was postponed will now be held on consecutive days, with the softball collection game being on Monday, April 22nd, during their game hosting Tri-Village, and the baseball collection game will be the next day as they host St. Henry. Get out to both of the baseball games this weekend. Boys hosting Parkway, now rescheduled for 5 o'clock on Friday evening, and then at Ansonia on Saturday morning at 11 a.m. But if you just can't get to the games in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians. Welcome back to Insight. We're here with County Engineer Jim Wiekert, and we've been talking about roads and stuff, I guess is the best way to put it. So while we were off the air there for a second, I just asked about the two big rains we had in the last week or less. There's some places that the roads were covered, but are we in pretty decent shape? Those were 3.5 inches in a couple of hours, from what I understood.
Yeah. So like up in where we live, northeast part of the county, I had 4 inches over 2 days, but we had about eight closures on various roads. There might be one road still, one or two roads up north still closed on the 12 Mile Creek that traditionally stays up for a while. But most of the other closures we had are down now, and those waters have receded. In the whole scheme of things, it was something we had to do operationally, but in 22 years, we've seen a lot worse situations, and mm-hmm. just fortunate that it wasn't worse.
Now, is some of that caused by restrictions downstream that isn't even in your jurisdiction?
Yes. And
so there's really nothing you can do you can encourage the next county or whatever to do stuff, but if they don't have the money, they can't do it either.
Right. So. And so like the St. Mary's River has a significant floodplain, Wabash parts of it. The floodplain comes up, although Wabash is clear down this area. The St. Mary's up in the northwest, and then as it goes into Indiana, there's a lot of tree line along it. A lot of issues with that, and then there's some natural open ditches that are naturally narrow, and they've never been petitioned for a clean out, so they carry what they can carry, and then they flood areas. So
that sounds like we're at least about as good as we can do without somebody downstream fixing there. So I think we touched a little bit about on the on the budget, but we talked about the gas tax and the money you get from license plates and so forth. So what is your budget? How much is it? And did you get anything? Does the county commissioners have anything to do with your budget?
So it's interesting. So in the all the county offices, So the county engineer's office is elected office, the Board of County Commissioners. I like to portray it as interlocking responsibilities. The county commissioners do approve our budget. County commissioners are involved in that process, but the county engineer makes a lot more operational decisions about where those funds go and the specifics of that. We have 26 full-time employees and around 6 seasonal. When you look at county government, that's a little less than 10%. That's 5 to 10% of the total amount of employees. And when you think about that, that's really amazing with 385 miles of county road and also 370 bridges to maintain. That's a fairly small group of people that does that. And obviously contractors are a big part of that as well when we bid projects out or bid activities, even some maintenance things out. The other thing I would reference, so our annual budget, we've been able to do a lot of work for our trustees. So in recent years, our budget's been in the realm of 18 to 19 million per year. That's about 25% of the total county budget. But again, most of that revenue comes from road user fees in the form of gas tax license, also grants that we go after. That's a big chunk of that. And then also a lot of work paybacks from township trustees for work we do on their roads. So that includes that.
Let's see, there's one other thing I was thinking about here that I hadn't asked. What are the best parts and worst parts of your job? Worrying about money has to be top of the worst part, at least part of it.
The best part is I've committed myself, and our team has committed themselves to making our county better, right? And so the best part is not only just working your way towards that, but tangibly seeing the improvements done through the years. I think if you talk to any, even like our road crew guys or anybody in the office, to know you had a part of that. And to me, it's gratifying to see like a bridge replaced that's going to outlast me, hopefully, and it's going to serve a great benefit. To me, that's very gratifying. That's why I got into civil engineering. So the parts that I dislike about the job, there's not a lot I dislike about the job. Every job comes with pluses and minuses, but I would say you touched on it. If you could wave a magic wand and revenue was no issue and you could do what you thought needed to be done for the whole county, that would be great. You know, that's not reality. Right. We know that.
Yep.
But we have a long-term goal to widen a lot of our narrow, deficient right-of-ways, shoulders, and pavements to bring them up to a proper standard for the traffic they're currently getting. The challenge is finding a way to fund all that. We're finding ways to cobble together funds to do part of it, but the challenge is, to me, that's a 10 to 20-year, 30-year goal challenge for this office, whether I'm here or whoever my predecessors are in the future, to keep working in that direction, because the area is an economically vibrant area. There's a lot of ag and small commercial, and we got to be able to facilitate that by the infrastructure that we're both trying to improve and maintain.
Yeah, and that's really important, because it, as I said, it just seems like the roads have always been in pretty good shape, and as the semi-traffic just kept increasing over the last few decades, where it's, you know, a lot now, there always was some, now it's a lot, trying to keep, to make sure you have roads that you're in charge of that can handle it, handle all that extra heavier farm equipment, the five times as many semis as we used to have, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so gratifying to know that the people before you were born were already kind of trying to not just slap stuff together and keep it patched.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying to build for the future, and that you guys are able to take that and keep even improving on that with wider roads and newer technology and things like that, and just keeping things going. It's just really good to know that we've been in good shape and we are in good shape. Are there other things that we haven't touched on that you want to?
I guess, as I said, and I don't want to beat the dead horse here, but that is our biggest challenge moving ahead. You know, we've got our pavement condition levels at our pretty, not a perfect place, but a pretty good place that we want to maintain. We don't want to see them drop. We've got our bridge condition levels at a pretty good place, not perfect again, but don't want to see them drop. So we want to keep that focus on there. But our big challenges in the future, in the next couple decades, is to to be aggressive and try to meet. We have a long-term goal. We call it 24 by 44, is to try to have all or the majority of our county road pavements widened to a minimum width of 24 feet by the year 2044. And so that's I think it's good to have important goals and challenging goals, because that's what we got to work towards. And you know, this area is a great area to live in, and we got to support that. And the way we do that is by looking ahead, moving ahead to try to make these roads more forgiving, more usable by the people that are using them.
Yeah, that's great. So let's go real quick, kind of reiterate some of the things. How many miles of roads in the county with the state, local, county, township?
Yes, so in ODOT maintains 210 miles on state and U.S. roads in Mercer mm-hmm. County. There's 386 miles of county road. That's county. Our office's responsibility. Mm-hmm. When I say about 370, the last number I have is 368 bridges. So why does that number change? Well, sometimes you have a situation where a bridge that gets replaced becomes a culvert, or a culvert that gets replaced becomes a bridge. So those numbers do flex a little bit over yep. time. There are 444 miles of township roads, 14 boards of township trustees, and there are also municipal streets out there. Unfortunately, I don't really have a concept on those miles. I know those yep. miles are less, but obviously they're very important in the municipalities.
Right, and that isn't your
right.
purview to be taking care of that. That's a lot.
It is a lot. That's more than people realize.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'd heard a number a few years ago, and I didn't remember the number, but I did remember that I was astounded. Mm-hmm. That just didn't make sense. And the 26 full-time employees, I believe you said, mm-hmm. Are most of them been around a while, or the ones that are newer going to be around a while, or is that a transient in and out kind of job?
It's a good job that somebody can look to have a career in. I don't have the exact number, but I think the last time we ran it, I think we have average tenure roughly in the 15 to 17 year range. So
wow.
Definitely a experienced workforce. We have a good mix of older and younger employees, mm-hmm. and that's good and important in an organization.
Yeah, both are very important.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And they both bring a lot to the table. Actually, on our annual report, which we put out every year, I actually have it here. It's 15.15 years, the average years of service to county engineers, full-time employees. And our annual report, if anybody's interested, we love to share what we do. We have it. Email our office. We actually have hard copies up in the front part of our office. We're at 4884 Mud Pike, just west of Salina, west of Sherwin, and the new ag building out there.
Yeah, so basically kind of behind the sheriff's
correct.
Office there.
To the north of it. That's
yeah,
correct.
On Mud Pike, yeah. So That's a lot of things that you guys take care of. Plus, you help the township trustees with their engineering things.
Yep.
I'll tell you, I really appreciate you stopping by and sharing this with us, especially on a day like today where you've been to Columbus and back yeah. and sitting through meetings and still have things on the agenda tonight. So,
well, happy to come here, Neil. Thank you.
I appreciate it very much. We've been speaking with Mr. Jim Wiekert, our county engineer. And thanks a lot. Hang in there, and we'll be back with Rocker in just a little bit.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
First Thursday at Stroll Appliance and Electronics. Strolls will be open until 7 p.m. this Thursday for your shopping convenience. You will always find a great deal on First Thursday of the month at Strolls. GE Appliances, Radio Shack Electronics, Scrapbooking Supplies are all at Strolls. 1513 North Meridian Street in Portland.
this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting, Finance, and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. I believe firmly in two things. The little things mean a lot, and to be great, you have to be practicing certain tasks, OADB, on a daily basis. That's why, farmers, when thinking about your 2023 and 2024 operating monies, come see me for the best value in the market, because operating costs affect you every day, and it's nice having a friend helping you navigate those current market challenges. See me for a free review. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning and the fundamental things. 419-852-4049.
The Fort Recovery Elementary and Middle School Drama Club will present Dorothy in Wonderland on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, April 12th through 14th at the Auditoria at the Middle School. The show features your favorite Wizard of Oz and Alice in Wonderland characters rolled into one show. Tickets will be available at the door and are $8 for adults, $6 for students, and children under 5 get in free. The shows will be presented at 7 p.m. on Friday, April 12th, and 2 p.m. matinees on Saturday and Sunday afternoons. The show is under the direction of Tracy Evers West Curtis and Karen Myring, and the talented students will put on a great show. Make plans now to get to this presentation of Dorothy in Wonderland at the Middle School Auditoria on Friday evening, April 12th at 7 p.m., and Saturday, April 13th at 2 p.m., and Sunday, April 14th at 2 p.m. Tickets will be available at the door. Don't miss it.
Hey, we need an intro for Rocker.
Well, we could probably come up with that. We had one when it was Rockin' with Rocker. We had one of those.
I don't think we can afford to. That's not in the budget.
It's not in our budget.
I think we can do it.
We have a big budget.
It could just be, da-da-da-da, here's Rocker.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. We might get sued on that one.
Why?
Copyright.
He's dead.
No, but the Tonight Show is still going.
It is?
Yeah, well, but not with that music.
No.
What you got tonight, Rock?
On this day, 1902, April 2nd, of course.
Yes.
First permanent movie theater opens in L.A.
Wow.
Now, obviously not talkies at that point yet.
No, but people probably in the audience still talked through the whole thing.
Yeah.
Which was okay, because you're reading the...
Right.
Reading the words on the screen.
Obviously, neither one of us was there for that one.
So what was the movie?
Ben-Hur.
I didn't get that far into it. I'm pretty sure it wasn't Debbie Does Dallas.
You don't know. Could have been some skin in her.
1968, yeah. 2001, The Space Odyssey lands in theaters.
I see what you did there.
Like that,
yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, he wrote that himself.
Yep.
Literally lands did.
Yep.
I've only seen it by way of clips. Has anybody actually watched it?
I have.
Like it?
No.
I have not.
It was just weird. I didn't like how it ended. I'm sorry, Hal. I can't do that.
We'll try April 3rd.
Wait. What's today?
April 3rd.
Okay, go ahead.
1953, the first TV guide. Comes in the stores. You know who's on the cover? The first TV guide?
Lucy.
You're close.
Oh.
Desi Arnaz.
Ethel.
Little Ricky.
Oh. Little Ricky. All right. Oh. Nice job.
1953, and I'm guessing it was like 5 cents for a copy.
Yeah, probably. My next guess would have been Jackie Gleason. Trying to think of people back
and
then.
And away we go.
Not positive he was on the air then, but then it could have been the crazy people that Rob Reiner, not Rob, it
was oh, man.
Carl Reiner and all yeah. those crazy people. Those people were nuts.
1973, the first mobile phone call was made.
Well, but, then.
Of course, Motorola was the company.
Yep. Yep. The size of a shoebox.
And then they went from that to, they went to the brick yep. in the 80s.
Yep.
Which wasn't very fashionable and or economical.
Well, but don't say it wasn't fashionable, because fancy people were walking around with them, making sure everybody knew they had one.
Yeah, they weren't. Area birthday time.
Oh, boy.
Hang on. Oh, I got one on this date.
Oh.
18 years ago.
18 years ago.
Today.
Yes.
Me, Big P, Cliffy, Jimmy Kemper went to opening day, Reds game.
Okay.
Versus the Cubs.
Okay.
Throw out the first pitch was?
18 years ago.
Bart Starr.
A president, the sitting president.
Bush. Yeah.
George W. Bush.
Yeah, George W.
And I was there.
Awesome.
Reds got killed.
Huh. Now, the old man or the young George?
I think it was W.
Yeah, HW is 43. No, that wasn't 40. No, 41, I think. I think George W. is 42, I think. Anyway,
just my neat kind of, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Thank you.
Feedy, you got one?
It wasn't opening day. I went to Reds game, and I think they got two pitches in before the game was delayed.
Nice.
It was a flock of bees.
Was you at that bee game?
Yep.
Was you really?
Yep.
Did you get stung?
No. But I got drunk.
Well.
That was the game that I had spent $100 before the end of the first inning, and beers were $3. But Bloody Marys were $5.
Yeah, well.
I was going to say, the math wouldn't really add up very well there.
And I didn't buy them just for myself, but I was $100 in and the first inning went over.
That's great.
Those days are gone.
Not really. Now it's just three beers for $100.
Yeah.
Cost you a lot less.
Yeah. What do you got, Rocker?
He's waiting for a chance to get in. I'm waiting for him to talk so I can interrupt him again.
Airy birthday time.
Ooh, I love Airy birthday time.
Thursday we got Krista King.
Krista King. Cute little Krista. God love her.
Do I know her?
Smitty. Smitty's Krista.
Oh, okay.
Friday we got Casey Evers.
Yep, know her.
Saturday we got Adrian Gruby, Michelle Whitaker, and one we don't have quite. Dixie May. Sorry about
Dixie
that.
May.
Dixie May. Yep. Happy birthday, Dixie May.
Pretty savvy. You can't read your own handwriting there.
No, that's me.
And our citizen of the day, one we all know and love.
I hope it's me again.
Not quite.
Oh.
Be a good one. You've been sucking at this. Come on, Rocker. Make it a good one.
Pat Niekamp.
He's an idiot.
Yeah, but he's citizen of the day. I like him.
I guess so.
He's a good guy.
He's overrated. He was a horrible superintendent.
No, I don't.
Wow. Yes, he was.
Okay. Compared to
David Ryle.
Okay.
Mr. Ryle was the best superintendent we ever had.
Ever.
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 Can you say that with a straight face?
Yes. You just heard it.
Celebrity birthday time.
Ooh, I love celebrity birthday
time. For April 2nd.
Ooh, celebrities.
I don't know how many people will remember this guy. Dr. Demento is 83.
Oh, yeah. He had a radio show.
Yep. Still does, actually.
No, he's dead.
No, he isn't.
Dr. Demento died.
Garp.
I don't think so.
Dr. Demento is dead.
I don't do dead birthdays.
You don't?
No.
You should.
No, I would. Maybe we'll have any more birthdays.
Let's see. Dr. Demento.
Well, he's
Barrett Eugene Hansen. He was born in 1941, and he's 83 years old.
And? Garp. Dead.
Nope.
Live? Swinging?
Apparently alive.
Still going. Fine. Who's next?
Bluegrass favorite, Emmylou Harris.
Ooh, I love Emmylou Harris. What song she sang? Give me a hint. Yeah, say hello, Emmylou.
Oh, Jesus.
Goodbye, heart. Sweet Emmylou, I'm so in love with you. And hello, Bobby. La da 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 da. So hello, Emmylou. Did you get a text?
No, he's looking at the time.
Oh, yes. We got time.
We got time.
What else you got?
Well, I still got the rest of the Tuesdays.
Ooh, I love those. Keep going.
Yeah.
Law and Order's Christopher Maloney is 63.
Never watched that.
Law and Order?
Yep.
There's only 80 of them.
How?
Clark Craig is 62.
Cork? Craig.
Clark.
Clark Craig. Is it Krieg or Craig?
Craig.
Who is it?
He's in like the S.H.I.E.L.D., the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Ooh, I like that show.
He's been like a lot of... He's
I don't
like
think I've ever heard of it.
Character actor.
Okay, I like it.
And one of the funniest names, Michael Fassbender, is 47.
Fassbender. Yeah,
that name kind of catches your eye.
Yeah.
That's about anything else caught, apparently.
Caught a little grief from the rest of us, but...
No, there's one guy that's got the neatest name. It's a movie star.
Hemsworth?
No. He's got a weird...
Schwarzenegger?
No.
Although that is a little
odd. That is not too bad. Yeah. No. What is that guy's name?
Oh, I thought you were going to...
Pat, I can't remember.
Well, that's good.
Thanks.
Good. Well, thanks for letting us know you don't know his name.
Good radio there.
Otherwise,
Patch.
It was
something. Patch? No, shut up.
Well, stay tuned to Sports Talk. We'll come up with it in about an hour.
We will get it.
Today's birthday.
I know who you're talking
about. Edward Burt Cumberhatch.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yes, that's it.
That's who you're trying to think of.
Tony Orlando turns 80 today.
We'll tie a yellow ribbon round the old oak tree. It's been three long
years. I didn't need the song.
Still want me. You don't like Tony Orlando?
No.
You know, he's still performing.
Not anymore, apparently. He's calling it a career.
He is?
Really? I think he just had his last show or something.
Yeah, I think he
I know. I heard something about him a year or so ago.
Dawn's still playing.
Well, pretty sure it's the same girls.
They're at the carousel next week.
Yeah, carousel.
Big crowd. Who else we got?
With the crystal ballroom the following week.
Now I don't shoot the messenger on this one.
Oh God.
Alec Baldwin turns 66.
Don't shoot
the messenger.
That's.
You're unbelievable. You're on your game tonight. Yeah, but my wife's going to kill you.
Frasier turns...
Hottest redheads. She wasn't on the list.
Ooh.
I don't consider her a redhead, though. That's why she wasn't on the list.
My wife?
Thick as a dog.
I always consider her blonde.
Blonde?
Really?
Okay.
Hot blondes. She better be at the top of the list on that one.
Frasier star David Hyde Pierce is 65.
Ooh, Crazier. What was his name?
Attention, Crazier Kmart shoppers.
Hey, what was his brother's name?
Freddie.
Simon.
Oh, that's a son.
This is Niles.
Niles.
This is the brother.
Yep.
Everybody's funny guy, Eddie Murphy, turns 63 today.
Eddie Murphy,
stand-up. His first one was the funniest stand-up ever. I know I watched it 25 times. Delirious.
Yeah.
Yep. It was.
Yep.
Is it okay if I come down there and sing to you? It is Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson does little boys.
Yeah.
Best of when you win. Yeah.
Matter of fact, we should replay that on live on the air.
Yeah.
Delirious.
I don't think that'd go very well.
You don't think?
Could be some bombs in there.
Yeah.
Well, let's wait till we get the FM license so we can get $25,000 fines.
Yes.
We got big fine with this moron on right now.
He's doing fine.
Not real well at this point.
He was doing okay till we interrupted him all the time.
What interrupting him?
Oh,
Beverly
no.
Hills 902-10-0507. Jenny Garth's 52 today.
One time.
Oop.
Jenny Garth.
One time.
She was also on.
Saved by the Bell?
No.
Close.
Two and a Half Men. I was thinking Charlie was doinking her for a while.
Who wasn't he doinking?
Neil.
How I Met Your Mother's, Colby Smothers is 42.
I like it.
Amanda Bynes, if you can die away the nut job part, is 38 today.
38.
Who dat? Sorry.
Amanda Bynes.
Well, never heard of her.
She's a piece of work. And, well, Paris Jackson is 26 today.
Who?
Paris Jackson.
Paris, oh.
Her.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah.
Michael and Lisa Marie's or whoever.
I don't think it was Lisa Marie. It was that sperm donor thing.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Well, that was fascinating.
That was it?
Well, that's the.
That was the longest segment he's ever had.
Yeah. Well, it'd be a lot shorter. And
we're right. So what's your plans for the eclipse?
I have no plans. I'm hoping I'll take a little nappy poo during that period.
Why?
It'll be real easy. It'll be dark.
That's good.
Take a nap.
I got your glasses.
Oh, sorry.
I'll pick you up on the golf cart.
I got your golf cart right here.
Huh?
Supposed to be 60.
70.
70. Beautiful.
And partly cloudy or mostly cloudy or something. I don't know exactly what, but
it's going to be a perfect day for the eclipse.
Perfect day to eclipse.
I'm excited.
I really wish we had something going on for recovery. I was told a year ago somebody's got stuff in plans.
Got nothing.
No, they're having camping at the Ambassadors, but there's zero events.
Bill's got them from about every state in the union out there.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Delaware, Connecticut.
Maybe I'll go out
Texas.
There.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll go out
That's
there.
What I said. We should do the radio show from out there, interview all these people. I think it'd be neater now.
Oh, well, yeah. I was thinking about in town, but we can go out there and do it.
No, I just thought.
You wouldn't do it?
I don't know. I did, but nobody wanted to.
You know, Bill
will be there.
Bill has probably seen quite a few solar eclipses, and none of them involving the
moon. Probably right. Are you done?
I'm usually not here at this point.
You're here today.
I'm
glad you're here, too.
I've tried to enjoy this dog and pony show.
I'm glad you're here.
Who we got on Sports Talk tonight?
We have the head softball coach of the Fort Recovery Lady Indians, Carrie Shane, in-house tonight. And next Wednesday is, drum roll please, our golf show, Masters preview, and Kirby.
I thought he was going to bring on Bobby Hurley. Or Bobby Hoyne. Former Mr. Ohio basketball.
Who we hate, right?
Well, I still owe him a six pack of Pepsi, but other than that.
You want me to text him and tell you want to pay him off? He shows up here?
I'll probably see his brother on Sunday.
Church.
You'll probably see his brother on Sunday. You can give it to Mike.
How would I do that?
Just give it to Mike and have Mike give it to him.
If I could be like Mike.
Mike goes to the church?
Yeah. Lindsay Greasup's.
Lindsay Garkey.
Garkey's husband. He's about 6'6". Yeah.
You didn't know it?
When I made that bet 30 years ago.
Doesn't matter.
No, I was going to probably walk out the door the next day. That's he had horse on me long, quicker than it took for me to get to first H.
Dang it. couldn't knock her home that day.
He said, let's get it moving, fat boy.
Hey, that's fighting words.
That doesn't sound like the Bob Hoying I know.
You should have kicked him.
Well, it was 30 years ago, so you know.
He was meaner then.
So if I go up to Bobby Hoying and I say,
he have no idea.
Does he know Rocker?
I doubt it.
He's had a few things going on in between.
Probably Randy back then.
Who gave you the Rocker?
Miller Boys, wasn't it?
Miller Boys, yeah.
Miller Boys, Rocker.
And every time you ask them why, I get the same answer. Top secret.
Won't tell.
Oh yeah. I do know one half of it was involved Hank Williams Jr. song, so that's something.
I don't need your rocking chair.
That's George Jones or Scooter.
Okay.
I am trying to put Rocker with a Hank Williams song, and that is not.
And it's Rockin' Randall Hank.
I never heard Rockin' Randall Hank before in my life.
Well, I'm out of here.
All right. Thanks, yeah. Rocker.
See, yeah. You're getting replaced by a much better looking model.
Yeah. Yes.
We'll be back in a few moments with Bob, Harold, and Coach Shane. Back soon.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.